how special it is to be chosen. You know, when we look in the scriptures, it helps us to see that we're chosen. One scripture says something about being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I was thinking about maybe, for instance, you might apply for a job. When I went to, I was in Florida. My husband had gotten sick. And prior to that, he didn't want me to work except in the church school. But he was sick, and he was down for like 5 months. Wow. And with that, we depleted like the savings and all, and I needed to work. So I went and I asked him to maybe, you know, maybe I could go and substitute since I had that degree. And he was fine with it. But when I went, they said they wanted me full time because they needed teachers. So I went to an interview. At this interview, this principal right there on that very interview wanted to hire me. But I had like 2 or 3 more interviews set up. So I said, you know, and she was willing to wait and let me go through those interviews. I don't know why I did it that way. I never would do it again. And then after the other one, I was waiting to hear from her. And the Lord helped me say, wait a minute. I mean, you already have somebody. That's, in other words, I was already chosen. Why would I wait on seeing if the other one's going to work out? So I went and I took that job. And I was so thankful that I did. It was the best. It was a wonderful principal. She was so laid back. You just go in your room, teach your children. She's not bothering you. And I'm energetic. I have lots of activities I think I want to do. And almost every, I don't think she turned me down on anything. If I wanted to do it, have a little club, you know, after school to on Wednesdays, they had, you know, the kids get out early. She just was just so wonderful. I was chosen. Do you know, I always look back on that experience as a wonderful experience. I even have today a few of the children that I taught, we still communicate, you know. But out of all the places and activities and positions that I could get chosen for, the very best one is to be chosen to be a child of God. Think about it. It's better than being chosen vice president, you know, president, and he choose somebody. It's better than having, you know, your name, fame, chosen the number one whatever. Because God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, the God that made this world, to choose you and me to be his child is the most and the highest acceptance we could ever have. And so we want to appreciate this status. You know, when a person is chosen to president or vice president, they kind of think there's something, right? But the status that you get for being a child of God is better than any of that. That's going to pass away. This is an eternal choice. God has chosen us to live eternally with him. We're going to die. our life is spent. The president's, the longest time they can spend as a president is 8 years. At present, that's the way it is. But what's 8 years out of a life? No, it's just a little time. But think about being chosen for an eternity. To live an eternity with God Almighty, with all the riches, all the wonders of heaven to gain. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. Somebody read verses 1 through 10. And while I was talking about the principle, when I think about it, I don't remember whether she, I know she chose me, but I don't remember whether she told me that day or the few hours or whatever. But she, when she did, I still put her off, and she still chose. That was, so I look back at that and shake my own head.
Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as you are babes, desire still milk, sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he shall, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, I swear unto, also they were appointed. But ye also are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
So we are a chosen generation. Who is this chosen generation? It's the children of God. And they are chosen because God wants someone in this world to make a difference. Someone to live a different life. It says that who were not a people. But now we are chosen. A holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So we are chosen when we accept God in our heart, when we repent of our sins, when we put off the old ways, we're chosen. When we come to God with the sincerity of our heart, begging him to forgive us for our sins, to take us, come into our heart, he makes a change. We're chosen. We're chosen to live a holy life. We're chosen to live different. Sometimes people call themselves Christians. They call themselves people of God. But they live just like they lived before they ever claimed salvation. That is not being chosen. When we are chosen, we are changed. We're not the same. We don't live like we used to live. It says he called us out of darkness. Sin is darkness. When we lie and cheat and do all these things, that's darkness. He calls us out of that life. He makes a change. We're clean. We're not filthy with all of the bad things that we use, the bad words and the drinking and all the other stuff that we used to do. We put away all of these things. He chose us out of that to live a holy life. Matthew 22 and 14.
But many are called, but few are chosen.
Many are called, but few are chosen. You know what that means? The call goes out to every single person in the world. Right. When we come into this world, somewhere God is going to call you. He's going to tell you, come to me. Come to me. Let me live in you. The call goes to everyone. But few are chosen. You know why? Those few are the ones that accept the call. When we accept that call and when we give our heart to the Lord, then we become his chosen vessels.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful privilege. It's a marvelous status. And we don't have pride about it. We don't have a religious pride thinking we're better than other people. No, but we're thankful for being chosen. We're thankful for being his child. We don't have time to think we're better than other people, but we appreciate God Almighty caring for us. This morning, you know, this is my birthday, so I had praises to the Lord, and I said, thank you, Lord, for loving me. I appreciate him loving me. I appreciate him caring for me. I appreciate him sending his son to die on the cross that I could be chosen. I could be one of his. You know, I don't have to be. I don't have to be. But God chose me. And he chose me because I responded to him.
Right.
Do you know if you respond to the dealings of God, you will be his chosen. Let's go to Psalms 89, read verses 3 and 4.
I have made a covenant with my children. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne with all generations.
He made a covenant with his chosen. You know, there's so many promises that we can claim. We can claim every single promise in the Word of God.
Yes.
He does that for his chosen. You know, sometimes you might have, for instance, you may have certain, when I was teaching, we had oratorical. I was over that. And so I would have to listen to these children. They'd be given poems to say, and I'd have to listen to them. And then I would have to choose them to be on the oratorical program. And out of that, you would have children that would go to the region and children that would go to the district, the whole district. So they were chosen. It's not like a covenant the Lord made, but they know that they're going to be able to do certain things because they were chosen. They did what they were to do, and they were chosen out of the group. You may have 50 children, and it may narrow down to 20, 25, and then for the region, then you're going to narrow it down even the more. And then for the district, So that's the way it is. When people audition or things, you choose them, and then they are given certain privileges. 1 Chronicles 6:6. But I'm thankful for being chosen of God, and I can claim his promises. He says to me, ask, and it shall be given you. That's a promise. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. He will give these promises. He was true to his promises. God doesn't make promises and not keep them. Sometimes you'll have people that renege. They'll say, oh, I'm going to let you do such and such because you did that. And then they might change their mind, but God doesn't do that. When he says what he says, he will do.
Okay. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart.
Yes, but the thing is, he chose him. He chose him. And so, thank the Lord that that didn't just last back in the Old Testament time, not just in the New Testament time, but today. It goes out all generations, and that said something for all generations, right? What this plan that God has of choosing us as his people goes from generation to generation. It doesn't stop back in the old days. We sometimes people say, back in the old days, things were like this. Back in the old, but it's right here in 2026. The same God with the same power and the same authority chooses us as his people to worship him, to honor him, to live honorably for him. Let's go to Psalms 132 and 13.
For the Lord has chosen Zion, and he has desired it for his habitation.
He's chosen that. He wants someone that he can walk and talk with.
Yeah.
He wants someone that he can live in their lives, and they're living a clean life. We shouldn't be professing to be a Christian or his chosen people and live in any kind of way. We shouldn't. We should respect and honor the Almighty God, that when we say we are his child, that we walk like it, we talk like it, we act like it, we respond like it. We want to have him on display in our lives. I've chosen him. He's chosen us. See, that's why he's chosen us. Because he wants us. He wants us to proclaim his name. No need of proclaiming the name of God and living like the devil. We got to live like God. We got to live the way he wants us to live. In the Bible, and we won't read it because of time, there was a parable. Jesus said, it's like the kingdom of heaven. And he tells this king that made a supper for his son. And he invited people.
Yeah.
And then when these people start making an excuse, that's the way people do today. The call goes out, but they make an excuse. They act like they, you know, I can't do it now. I can't. I'm not ready. That's what a lot of people do. But you see, that's what they were doing. They were making an excuse. So then he said to his servants, I believe it was, go out into the highways and compel them to come in.
Yeah.
And so the call goes out to into the highways and hedges, and all these people came in, and his supper was full of people. When he walked through there, there was one person without a wedding garment. And he said, why are you here without a wedding garment? And this man, he was speechless. He couldn't even say why he was there like that. And so they took him, he said, take him and bind him and put him where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Even those that came, even if we have been called and we say we have accepted him, we must have a wedding garment on. We must be like Christ wants us to be.
Yeah.
And if we walk any other way, we're going to be cast out and we won't be accepted with him. So there's a responsibility to us. We have a responsibility, just like my principal was pleased, and she always, you know, was satisfied with the things I wanted to do, but I had a responsibility. And if I was negligent and didn't carry my responsibility right, she wouldn't have been pleased. It would have been, you know, you can't make another except, no, Miss Clay, you tried this and that was no good. We can't have you do that. But every single thing, she was, yes, yes, yes. And so that's the way the Lord is. We have a responsibility. If we are called to be his child, chosen, we have a responsibility the way we carry ourselves, the way we live, and what we allow and what we don't allow. All of this is what God wants us to do. So let's look at some of the things that we should do. Let's read John 15 and 16.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it.
So he's looking for some fruit. He's looking for some righteous fruit. He wants us to turn away from sin and wrong and turn to start doing right. I remember years ago, there was a young person that got saved in our congregation. And somebody asked her, now, what, like other words, trying to find out if she understood what she was doing, getting saved. And she said, I think she said, straighten up and fly right, something like that. Other words, you don't keep doing the same thing. You straighten up and fly right. You start doing the right thing. And that's what the Lord is expecting out of us. Ephesians 4:22. You're going to read 4 and 22 and then skip down to 25. Same chapter.
Ephesians 4 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away the lie, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
See how that you change. You don't do those old things. Corrupt communication. No using bad language and being deceitful and all of these things, doing unclean things. All of that's put away. Put away from you all those things. Put on Christ. Good things. Start kindness and gentleness and peace. It's a whole change. You're chosen. You know, people that are chosen for certain armed forces, you expect to see them in their suit. If it's, they're in the Air Force, you're going to see them in their Air Force outfit or the Army outfit. And they have certain laws and certain ways that they are to carry themselves. Just like good sports people, they have to... While I was teaching there, the teacher next to me, we were teaching second grade, and she ran. She was a runner, so she would do triathlon, and she just was a professional runner. But there were certain things that she did to maintain that level of accomplishment. And every day, before she come to school, she did her running. So the same way with us. When we are living for God, we want to show for God, godliness. Not the old things, the dark things that we used to do. We changed from that. But now we put on the new man, which is renewed in Christ Jesus and holiness. And godliness, this is what we put on. So we want to be encouraged that when we give our heart to the Lord, we have a responsibility to get rid of the old ways and put on the new ways. Put on Christ. I want to read a few more scriptures. Do you know some people believe that all the saints died? But do you know, Saint Peter, Saint this. But today, when you live like this, you are called saints. Did you know that? That's a high calling. You are called saints by the scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 2.
To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. With all that, in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
So if you're called to be a saint, you need to act like a saint. If you are very easy to get upset and you just, tell people off, you're acting like an ain't, not a saint, right? So you, when you are living, chosen person, you're going to live a holy life and you're going to act. And we're not talking about put on the air. We're talking about real living, everyday living. It's not something that I'm a saint on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm an ain't. No, you're going to live that life consistently every single day. So we want to live a life that pleases God. We want to live a life that shows the character of Christ in our everyday walk. So I want you all to be encouraged. If you have given your heart to the Lord, live it on a daily basis. If you have not given your heart to the Lord, come to the Lord. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you know, if you come to the Lord, he can make a change in you. Do you get tired of the old life, doing things the way you used to do, and not getting along with people, and getting angry, and all these things? Come to Jesus. He'll make a difference. He'll choose you, and you'll have a blessed life. Pray for me.